Hello and welcome. Jesus Christ.
It was my turn.
Yay, Chad.
I actually thought that was Alex.
No. Chad's very, very good at clapping impressions, though. Chad, do your Queen Victoria. Huh? Huh? Talent.
That didn't sound like clapping, is all I'll say.
Ooh. It was very soft and light, like a Queen Victoria.
But also very authoritative at the same time. It's honestly impressive, and you can tell that that's why Chad is a musician. You can tell from that.
Yes,
from
that
clap.
That is why.
Yep. But Chad, who do we have hosting the show this week?
What?
Let's introduce Jean-Luc, our host. Hi, Jean. How you doing?
Hi, I'm the host of the Comics Podcast, and you're listening to the 239th numbered episode of the show.
Some would say that this is the only podcast about comics on the internet. Would you agree?
I would say that. I don't know that you could prove it, but as far as I know, that's correct.
Wow. Well, thanks for coming on to host your 238th straight episode. I really appreciate it. And I think Chad does too. Chad?
Yeah, no problem. I'm
this
awesome.
Power dynamic switch reminds me of those BDSM relationships where they switch up and then people are confused.
Yeah, I love it when Alex ties me up and whips me. It's great.
See, then you made it weird.
Well, that's what I do.
I feel like that's my job.
Everything's changing. On this
is
episode.
True.
So I'm the
Star
one.
Star Wars.
See, perfect. You know, I'm the one making the weird, vaguely inappropriate sex jokes. Chad is talking about Star Wars, and Alex is hosting.
Last week, Chad also brought up Star Wars first, and he mentioned that George Lucas is the best part about Star Wars. So, Chad, you're as much as you say this is.
I didn't bring it up. Someone asked me that.
No, I don't know. Well, you brought it up. We weren't talking about Star Wars. You just mentioned that, I think.
Yeah, you did. And this is the second week in a row, so I'm not sure if this is an out of character haha switch or if Chad is truly becoming deranged.
Chad is becoming a Star Wars fan.
Mm. Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah?
There's so much homework involved.
I don't know. There's only been two novels and two new comic book series that have launched in the last 3 weeks, so, you know.
Chad, what's your favorite Star Wars war, and what's your favorite real war, and how do they connect?
That's a really fucking bizarre question, Alex. I actually love it. I don't have an answer, because I feel like I'm not funny enough to come up with a good one, and I'm not smart enough to come up with an actual one. Also, I don't know all the Star Wars wars.
Well, don't worry.
I did like the end of Rise of Skywalker. That had lots of explosions. So that was a neat war, I guess.
Okay.
That was a battle, not a war, but
whatever.
Okay.
See, this is why I didn't like this is why I don't like this question secretly. Okay. It's actually a bad question and everyone should feel bad.
Well, that was quite a journey on that question. But Jean-Luc, do you want to ask us what we've been up to this week? And then also ask yourself?
I was going to, but I'm kind of thrown off my game.
Ooh. How has Tinder been?
How has Tinder been?
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about that. How has your week been, Alex? What have you been up to?
Well, I think
Chad, Alex.
I think Chad can put it best. Chad?
Alex has been, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's kept to himself a lot, and it's been very refreshing for him. He said, like, maybe four things to me. He did not play VR chat with us last week because I didn't play VR chat with us last week. So maybe he did, and I just wasn't there. But he really enjoyed that, and basically Alex secretly hates all of us.
Hmm.
Am I right about any of that?
So Chad has had a good week, too. He's been around the house. He's been fixing stuff, vacuuming maybe, but there's always stuff to do. And his cat's very cute, but also kind of a scoundrel.
Wow, that's so vague that it could be accurate for every second of every day.
that's the vagueness that we come to expect on the comics podcast. But I actually did have some. So yeah, I didn't play VR chat last week because Chad wasn't playing it. And then Chad was like, "Oh, Joe's gonna play." And then I went on, but instead of like adding Joe on Facebook and like you know being like, "Hey, Joe, do you want to play?" I was like, Chad, is Joe going to play? And then Chad's like, he says he was. And then I didn't respond again. So didn't end up playing VR chat this week. Maybe we'll do it the week coming up. But I did end up finally being able to mod my, or sideload the Beat Saber thing on my VR headset so I can download like real songs onto it, which has been really neat. Just like basically any, well, it's like 70% of songs that I could think of, and it's like, oh, someone made like a pretty good version of it, and it's really cool. And I'm m like my mom was really into VR chat. I mean, not VR chat. Jesus Christ, I hope she's not into VR chat. Into Beat Saber. And then I was like, oh, and also you can play your favorite song, and it like blew her mind, which was lovely.
What's your mom's favorite song?
She's a big fan of like, so she does like Zumba dancing for exercise kind of stuff, so she likes the sort of Latin songs sometimes. So there's the Marc Anthony's, I think it's called Vivir Mi Vida. And then surprisingly, I don't know if it's just the V's, but she also likes Viva La Vida by Coldplay. So
That's a decent song.
pretty good in Beat Saber. And I would recommend if you have a computer and a headset to try to do the side loading, but it did take me like three tries to actually do. So
Both my parents have been playing a lot of Beat Saber.
yeah.
It's got my dad's like put that into his I'm retired and now this is part of my routine is I'm gonna play until I get like this level of score on whatever song I'm playing on. Because
Nice.
it's a good workout.
Yeah,
And
it
it's like that sounds charming, Dad. You're playing video games all day. Once upon a time you yelled at me and Joe for that, and now you just
Oh,
get to do it and I have to go
ten
to work.
tables, father. Ha
Everything comes full circle and if you say that weird, that's kind of a lewd statement.
ha. Ooh, circle. Like a circle jerk. Is that what you're saying, Chad?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same wavelength there.
I'm sorry.
But man, yeah,
You couldn't help yourself. That was supposed to be my job, but
Oh, it's true.
couldn't
Okay, all
help
right.
yourself.
Quick reset. Jean-Luc, what's up with you, Chad?
Yeah. Well,
Ageless.
now everything is just confused. I don't know. It's just been another week of going to work. You don't like to see it. I mean, I guess we played Apex this week because the new season dropped, and that's neat. But I don't really have anything. It's not like, I don't know.
Are you enjoying the new season? Because it's basically a new hero, kind of like redesigned map, that kind
Excuse
of
you, it's
stuff.
a new legend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I
I'm
mean,
sorry.
I like the game, so yes, I'm enjoying it, but like I don't have like the as much of an urge to play it as I have like but that's also because we played I think we played like 400 hours of that game last year. So I think it's not I'm not like done with it, but it's definitely getting to the point where I'm feeling the itch for new multiplayer games, which is actually why I've been playing Sea of Thieves.
Oh.
And that is a fun game. You can do some fun shenanigans in that, like drink a lot and then throw up all over the ship, and then drink a lot again and throw up all over the ship again, and it's just as funny the second time as it is the first time.
Dad, what
Which
do you think
I.
about this? Are you a fan of drinking and then throwing up on a regular
Me?
basis, Chad?
Not in. Oh,
Jean-Luc?
Chad.
I'm confused now.
No.
Okay.
No, like not in real life, but it's funny when like my virtual pirate does it.
So are you playing as like with a, because it's multiplayer, right? Like a group thing, or how does that
Yeah, I'm
go?
playing with a couple of my friends who have because it's on Xbox Game Pass, which I have on PC, and so not for free, but we all have access to it. And I've been meaning to get into it for a while because I have a group of friends who's been playing it for a while. I've been playing with them, and it's just like it's really fun. It makes me wish there was a version of like that pirate sim that was a little bit less cartoony because it is very much like. It's very clearly meant for a younger audience. And like I don't need like edgelord pirate stuff, but I would like something that's a little bit more complex in terms of the mechanics and what you can actually do in the game. But for what it is, it's really fun. I mean, there's a lot of like it's just fun to like go out and sail and be like, yeah, we're headed to this island to dig up the buried treasure. And then like on the way you get attacked by a kraken and you have to shoot off the kraken and you see another ship in the world that's owned by other real life players and they get off to go do a quest on the island and while they're doing the quest on the island in the middle of a storm, you swim over to their ship and blow it up. And then take the treasure that's on their that was left on their blown up ship and leave with it while they watch you leave from land. And then their ship will respawn, but their treasure won't. And now we have that. And then you just end up doing a lot of like weird side things. And eventually you get to the island that you needed to get to, and your ship gets blown up by a volcano that erupted, right? Like, it's just one of those games where, like, and I know it's like such a buzzword, but like the emergent gameplay aspect of it is really what makes it work. Where you like, there's it's all like procedurally generated, and but there are quests and stuff, but they're very much like go here, do thing, go back, get money. But they provide like just enough structure to allow like all the other systems in the game to sort of come out, and that's where the game actually gets really fun. And it's like surprisingly surprisingly in-depth sailing mechanics. Like, it's kind of neat that it doesn't like it's not like very it's not super handholdy. Like, for instance, like when we were doing that quest to like find the buried treasure, it didn't just like put an objective marker on the HUD that you just sail towards. Like, you actually like have to find the spot on your map on the map and set a bearing for it and like sail through the seas to get there. And what happens on the all along the way happens. So then you actually like have to, it doesn't just show you where the treasure is. Like, it's, you have to like solve puzzles on the island to figure out where the treasure is and stuff. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's not something that I would play like every night, but playing it a couple nights a week for a couple hours is it like makes for a really enjoyable time. And like I said, it does make me wish that there was something like it that was a little bit more in depth. I mean, I know that it blew up on Twitch again, but it makes me want to get back into Rust, kind of. Although playing Rust with randos kind of sucks, which is an inevitability of playing that game. But it's the same type of thing, just a little more lighthearted and low stakes.
That
So,
sounds
but
neat.
yeah, I guess that's the thing. One of the things I've been up to. I mean, I've been gaming a lot lately. But so I've played a few different things, but like that's the one that I think comes to mind as the standout. I mean, playing PUBG again has been really fun, but I don't want to bore people talking about PUBG.
Yeah, I was like, I was just talking about the 400 hours in like Apex last year or whatever the crazy number was. I think I got into it when I was unemployed, and then when I started working, I was working like 20 hours a week, so I was like, oh, I can play like Apex still a lot every day. And now I'm working full time and I'm still like, oh, Apex, let's go. But it's yeah, I don't know. I'm getting a new computer in like a couple of weeks, so hopefully I'll be able to actually run that game well, 'cause since I've been playing Apex, it's been like a like, oh, the frames are at like 80, now they're at 40, now they're at 80, now they're at 40, which is a fun roller coaster.
I play Smash Brothers once in a while and VR chat once in a while, and someday I'll finish Doom Eternal. I like Doom Eternal, I just kind of forget I have it.
Yeah.
I mean, I mostly play multiplayer stuff. It's mostly just a social thing now, since I mean, not that gaming wasn't a social thing before, but now it's just like I can't hang out with friends in real life, so we're all gonna get a Discord call and
Yeah.
we're gonna play video games, and sometimes that means I have to play Overwatch, and it but it is what it is because it means I get to hang out with my friends.
Yeah, like the whole like VR chat's been really cool, 'cause first of all, it's like you never know what you're gonna get on any given night, but it's just been a lot of fun socializing and like seeing people's like hands moving. You're like, their hands are actually moving. That's pretty cool. Or like someone flips you off and you're like, haha, nice. But that's cool. And then it's yeah. Like that's been a nice change for stuff, but I'm still like I would like more multiplayer games that like so I don't play Apex and Overwatch all the time or whatever. Just some variety. Maybe I'll give PUBG another try, but I played two rounds of that and I was like, what is going on? I don't know.
You
You should
do
give.
that. That's just encouraging him.
Well, I have other friends who play it. As much as I would like to play with Alex, you should try Sea of Thieves. I think you would like Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
I was gonna watch a couple movies for content this week because there's been some very capital C content movies that have dropped recently. One being the MyPillow guy's psycho, like total off the rails, the election was stolen movie
On
that's
behalf of
like
Minnesota, I
three and a
am
half
sorry
hours
for him.
long. So
You
I
own a
like,
MyPillow, right, Chad?
I do.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
I mean, apparently it's a quality product, but that guy sucks. But like, I want to watch that because every time because my grandpa is still living with me and he watches a lot of Fox News, so every time I'm like out in the living room, it's on. Which is annoying for me, but they have him, like, I swear they have that guy on like three shows a day. Like he doesn't know anything. He's just like the MyPillow guy. But this is a very Fox News thing because they don't actually report on anything that's really newsworthy. They just have these fucking like rando culture warriors on to talk about culture war bullshit and cancel culture and shit. But he's deranged, and it seems like it'd be fun to maybe watch him interview him and the other, you know, band of psychos that tried to steal the election. But anyway, the other movie that I was going to watch is the Ben Shapiro school shooting movie, which...
what? That's a lot of words in that sentence I don't like.
We have a title. It's about the Ben Shapiro school shooting movie.
Well, it's called Run, Hide, Fight, which is like, you know, what you're supposed to do in the case of a school shooting. Like, you run, and if you can't run, you hide, and if you can't run or hide, you fight, you know, Rambo the school shooter. You fucking,
of course,
yeah, ass,
yeah. You pull out your gun.
You just get a 100% KDA on the school shooter.
Distributed
obviously.
By the Daily What? Oh, God. Continue.
So to be fair, like, Ben Shapiro... Well, okay. The Daily Wire has a lot to do with this movie, but this movie was produced like separately from the Daily Wire. But the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's like news outlet, I guess you could. It's mostly just a culture war outlet, if we're being honest.
Right.
But you know, they hate Hollywood, so they hate Netflix, which I don't know. Netflix publishes a lot of reactionary stuff, but anyway, they decided we need our own version of Netflix because it just feeds the culture war stuff. Mm. So they launched a streaming service, and this is one of the movies that they acquired from. It played at a couple film festivals and got like it wasn't like competing for any awards or anything. Got a very small amount of press at the time, and now they've acquired it and have put it out on their streaming service. I would not pay for their streaming service, but I'm sure I can find it illegally. And I wanted to watch it because it sounds like a movie that would be fun to talk about.
Does it, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Fucking, like, right-wing movies about school shootings. It's probably depressing to a certain degree, but there's got to be some content there.
I hate myself, but not that much. I think what I'm learning here, I did my taxes today, Jean-Luc.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I just got my W-2s yesterday, so I have to, you know, give it a couple days before I actually do my taxes. But...
Good old TurboTax.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I think because of the fact that I was unemployed for like a month or so, I might still fall into the income bracket that gets to use TurboTax for free, baby. So we love to see that.
wait. I'm confused about that because my brother got to use it for free last year, but that dude makes like... Hear some horseshit and things.
Oh, weird.
I don't know how. He's like, okay, did you use the free version? And I was like, it didn't ask me to use the free version.
Yeah,
I just used what I did last year.
Huh? Yeah, no, I used the free version last year, but I assume, like, or I've used the free version the last few years just because, like, I thought it was, I was under the impression it was tied to your income. Like, if your income was below a certain threshold, you could just file.
See, I thought it was tied to, like, how many bells and whistles you want. So, like, how much you do manually versus how much it does for you.
Here's how TurboTax just tricked you into paying to file your taxes.
That's what I did last year. I just uploaded my W-2s and mostly just clicked through it, and it filled everything out for me. I mean, there was some stuff I needed to do manually, but not much. So I don't know. Maybe it's not tied to income.
Cost me $170.
Yeah. See, I'm not about to pay $170 to do my taxes.
So no, apparently there is a workaround where there is a free version of TurboTax, but you can't find it on their main website kind of thing. I'm gonna send you guys the link because it might actually be helpful. But...
Well, I already did mine.
Oh,
well. I know how to find
it. We missed it by one day.
That's too bad. You should request a refund and file them on the free version, Chad.
I don't mind. Well, because I had to file in two states, and then I had to file for the LLC, and so it costs more.
Oh, shit. I have to file in two states. Ah, God, that sucks.
It's $40 a state.
Well, I won't pay. I hopefully won't have to pay $40 a state, but I have to file in both DC and Michigan, which is fucking annoying.
Honestly, $40 a state isn't bad when I just have to click next for like an hour and a half, and then it's done. Like I don't care. Like I will pay for that convenience at this point if it means I get to nap at 4 o'clock.
It's a good nap.
You know, that's reasonable. 4 o'clock is a good nap time. It's also a good podcasting time.
I'm sorry, I'm so old.
Chad, I like that I have... All my friends are older than me. Well, that's not true. Lots of my friends are older than me.
I'm just like the least interested. I have like no stories. Like my cat's funny, and I vacuum. Like Alex summed that up pretty well. Though the cat is sleeping on the bed with me at night now. He's graduated to
That's
not
been a
being.
really cute thing that's been happening.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
I think you get have more fun stories than you like to admit.
I agree.
Maybe.
But it's also a matter of like, I guess like we can't go to concerts, we can't really go out and do anything. So I feel like all our stories recently are just like, I don't know, or kind of thing. I mean, I guess it is kind of different for you guys because you guys can sort of go out and stuff. But I
I
don't know.
can, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I would rather not contract the virus that's killing, 5,000 people a day in this country and a lot more globally, but I would rather stay inside.
It's cold out. It's like 4 degrees out right now.
Okay, Chad, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you an assignment so that you have content for next week. You're gonna get into really hardcore into VTubing this week.
Oh.
No, wait. Which ones are those?
VTubing? VTubing is like the people, it's like the anime Twitch streamers who are like
Oh,
cat
no.
girls. Or
It's like
sometimes they're
anime,
like, well, there's like
but
fur, there's
why?
some of them are furries. Well, you it's like the streamer wears like a haptic suit or like or
Not gonna
some shit
watch
like that.
streamer anything.
You can watch it on YouTube, so you don't
I'm
have
not
to
gonna.
watch it
No, I don't.
live.
You know how many things I could watch instead?
He could watch John Luke 1997 on, live on Twitch.
Well,
I
maybe.
would. I could do that.
You could. It might happen again today. I might go live. I might push the
Damn.
live button.
It kind of sounds like a threat. He's like, I might go live today. I don't know. You don't know.
Talk me off the edge. Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Nerdforge videos. She's a Russian lady that makes like movie props and
Oh,
things like
yeah.
that.
Oh,
She's
cool.
cool. I like watching people make stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I finally caught up on Mandalorian. Watched the last two episodes.
Oh, did you think it was epic when Lucas Skywalker showed up?
I mean, it was kind of underwhelming. It was like a, I don't know, like the big bad guy with the Darksaber just like gets taken out, and then the robots like get put into space, and it's like it's kind of weird that they'd have an airlock, like an airlock there, just to, like that shoots them into space. But then they come back, and Luke's just like slice, 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 and I was like, oh, cool,
Well, no, they have the
hallway scene.
airlock. The whole point of the airlock is that they can deploy from that room.
Oh, that's what they did on the planet earlier. Okay,
Yeah, like they deploy from there, and then they're
yeah.
like, and then in the infinite wisdom of the main characters of the show, they were like, let's flush the robots out into space. That'll take care of
Well,
them.
see, I at that point I was like, "Oh, the robots are gone." That's like it was stupid in that sense because I was like, "Well, why would you have an airlock if it's going to kill the robots?" But since they came back after like I don't know, it felt like too long. Anyway, that's nitpicking. It just felt like it suddenly ended, and then Luke was like, "I'm taking the kid," and it's like, "Sir, are you going to provide him with a good home?" And he's like, "I'm leaving. I'm wearing a robe."
Yeah, my favorite part is going to be when Baby Yoda is killed at the hands of Kylo Ren.
Damn.
That's going to rock.
Damn, damn, damn. Gotta tie in. Gotta tie in. But yeah, it's nice to be caught up, I guess. Nice to not have to worry about that show anymore.
Did you watch the post-credits scene?
Oh no, we turned it off right when it ended.
Oh.
You wanna tell me about it?
Well, it's just Boba Fett goes to Jabba's palace and kills Fat Bib Fortuna and sits on the throne, and then it goes to a black screen and says, "The Book of Boba Fett coming next year," or some shit like that.
Kills, but oh man, poor Bib.
Yeah.
I remember that. It's funny. Me and Cameron kind of talked about that this week on our show, too, about like, hey, I wish they would stop trying to make Boba Fett cool. You can't make me care about him. He was fine showing up for a bit, but I don't want any more. Like, I just
Yeah.
stop it.
No,
Stop it.
I agree that I don't want anything anymore. The only thing is that Temuera Morrison
Oh, I
is
love him.
very good.
His voice
And
is the
like
perfect, like the cadence
he
is just like, yeah.
yeah, him in that scenery is fantastic. Like he just chews on that scenery really well and is like a really charismatic actor. But yes, overall I agree. I think that like the whole all of The Mandalorian has very clearly been an effort to make Boba Fett happen. Both either like by literally bringing him back or by figuratively being like, here's a different color Boba Fett toy for you to buy.
And I know,
And
I like
it's not been
part of me feels
successful.
like the Boba Fett wasn't really planned in the first season. Like I don't think they started the show
No, it
like
was. They
we're gonna
teased
bring
it.
in the
No,
first
they.
when.
Yeah, they. When the episode where he goes to Tatooine and he
Oh, that's
has
like
like
episode
the.
two as well. Damn,
Well, it's
something
like
like that.
episode 5 or 6.
I don't know.
But yeah, he goes to Tatooine and he meets the like novice bounty hunter and they go to kill Fennec Shand and they think they kill her, but at the end somebody shows up and takes her.
Damn.
Yeah.
It
So
just
it
felt kind of
was.
random because it was like Boba Fett's there, and I guess they're doing a new show, and then he like does his distraction, and then he just leaves, and it's like, hey, but Boba Fett would actually be kind of helpful in like a hand-to-hand fight, like having him on your ship, or, like getting him in there, but he just flies off, which is,
Well, see, and this is nitpicking, but how did Fennec get back with Boba Fett? Like, if he just left? Because she's on the bridge, and the implication I thought was that he just like left during, like, while they were on the ship, and he doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Maybe she's paid her life debt
Well,
somehow.
they did.
Well, but did Fennec pay the life debt to Boba Fett? I thought that's a life
No,
debt.
she's with him at the end of the mo at the e in the end credit scene. She's with him. She
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah, I didn't see that
she has
then.
this thing where she like grabs like a bottle of rum or some shit and like sits on the side of Boba Fett's throne and starts drinking.
Yes. Well, in that case, I don't know.
I'd probably have a drink with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I'm not that picky about drinking though. That's why I
Mm.
can't remember half the things we talk about.
Heck
That's
yeah.
understandable. A much better television show that is on right now is Riverdale, but I feel like next week is the week when that shit's really going off the rails, so, and
Plus,
Emily will
Emily
be
will be back.
back, and
So
we can
yeah,
talk about
the
it.
trailer, and I've only seen one episode so far, but the trailer for the newest one is just like Archie's going to war, but it's like not like he's overseas
Oh,
or like in a different part going to war. There's like a
he's on a
football
football field.
stadium, and it's like I really hope he gives a speech about like or like a reference to his football speech.
Well, we're not really going to see Archie in the war because they're doing a 7-year time jump. And
Which is
so
neat because they're actually going to be the right age.
the
Like
right, yeah, the actors are going
they
to be
wouldn't have to
playing
pretend to be
characters the
like
right age.
15
Yeah.
or whatever the heck they're pretending to
Well, I
be.
mean, they're like 18 at this point in the show, but yeah, which is still like, the actors are all like mid to late
Yeah,
20s,
I mean,
but
like
yeah.
when they started, Archie was like 15 or 16, and he was having the freaking Miss
Yeah.
Grundy sex. It was like,
Ugh.
okay,
Yeah.
what a show. But what is it? Archie's going to war.
Yep. Betty joins the Be Betty becomes a spook, which is not
Yeah,
really a
she joins the
surprise.
CIA.
Jughead is a novelist.
Yeah, which makes sense. Sorry, that one.
Yeah,
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 huh.
yeah. And like the best thing they could do for Veronica was, oh, she's married now. That's like
That's her character.
Archie like became a soldier and fought in a war for 7 years. Jughead is like a famous novelist. Betty's in the FBI. Veronica got married.
Yeah, and but not to
Cool.
Archie. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
it's
he was at
honestly so
war.
exciting how like silly this show is, and I'm just very much looking
There's a
forward to that
great
episode.
moment, and I guess slight spoiler for the most recent episode, Alex, but there's a great moment where Archie, after Archie decides to join the military, they're all, Veronica's like, I won't allow it. There's a war on. And you've like, they've never referenced a war before in the entire run of the show. And well, like, of course, the US is always fighting a war somewhere, right? So it's like
Yeah.
believable. But like, why didn't this come up at when he was trying to go to the Naval Academy or whatever?
It
Why was
also I yeah, it like kind of works 'cause
so?
Riverdale's it's like a kind of creepy how small town it is and how like disconnected it is
Yeah,
from
how
everything else and how
detached it
like
is.
under the dome it kind of is. But yeah, you would think that they'd be like, "Oh, that war is going on." Or do they like not know? Or do they just like not care and are like, "But prom's coming up, guys. We have to be ready for prom."
To be fair, I think that is like realistic for high schoolers. It's just weird to like have that throwaway line about it when they've never referenced it before. But it is very Riverdale to do something like that.
Yeah.
To just like invent stakes in the course of like a 5-sentence line that have never existed before. It's a great show.
I mean,
It's a great
it's just
show.
the most entertaining thing on TV so far,
Yeah,
none.
I think
But
that's
yeah.
true.
But we said we wouldn't talk about Riverdale this week, so we'll try to kind of honor that.
Yeah,
And when Emily's back next week, we'll
we'll
dive in.
circle
Also,
back.
Emily, this is Emily's second week of being on assignment. She's not at war. We're not going to skip 7 years ahead. Don't worry. She'll be back next week, with stories of her travels, hopefully. So.
Oh, since you guys talked about Riverdale, I get to talk about Yashahime, even though
Okay.
Emily's not here. I watched an
Do you want
episode.
me to be Emily or do you want Jean-Luc to be Emily?
Yeah, it's only gonna take like 2 seconds
All
because
right, all
it's
right, all
still not very good. That hasn't changed. We can move
right.
on now.
Perfect. Yeah, we can talk about comics now, I
That's
think. I
your
think we've crossed
weekly
it.
update of anime.
Wow. Is it any worse than it was last time, or is it just consistently?
It's hard to tell. Part of me thinks it is, but part of me's like, well, technically it's not. It's just I'm growing more and more sick of it.
Good
I thought
old
the artwork
animes.
was like, it feels, there's some scenes where like a couple of the side characters did not seem like, they're either over animated or not animated enough. There wasn't like a good middle ground. And you're like, wait, come on, what the fuck are you guys doing? And some of the backgrounds felt really detached from the foregrounds in a couple scenes. And so it looked more rushed than normal, which was weird.
Well, that's
So,
unfortunate.
and then the writing and plotting and character work was mediocre too. So it technically was worse, I think, just from a craft perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, do we want to talk about some comics and get out of here?
How come there's a fairy type in Pokemon? When did that happen?
A long time
Is
ago.
that black and white?
Yeah.
I think that's black and white.
That's Generation
been.
5.
Yeah, that's been like almost a decade old, man.
Wow.
Like, seriously, I think that has been like 10 years. Black and White, I think, came out in 2011.
Man.
Pokemon
No, it looks
Black
like
and.
2013.
Okay, so very close to 10 years. No, September 18th, 2010.
Oh, I am looking at the wrong thing. I'm on Bulbapedia, but I don't understand this
Well,
website.
there's black and white, and then there's black 2 and white 2.
Yes. Too black,
Black
too
and white
curious.
were black and white were on the DS, and I think black 2 and white 2 were on the 3DS.
Oh, no, it was the last. I think it was the last one on the DS, though, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't play them. That's
A
after
lot of
I.
people really like those two. That's like a very
Oh,
well
really?
regarded. Yeah.
I thought people hated the second ones, but liked the first.
Oh, that's also possible, but I just remember them being yeah.
Yeah, I do remember the first couple being very well received.
And
I
then after
liked
that,
Silver.
yeah. Me too, Chad.
I
That's
mean,
my
yeah,
favorite.
my Crystal was my first, but I think my favorite is probably like Emerald. I don't know. I don't know which Pokemon games I'm supposed to like and which ones I'm not supposed to like.
Yeah, Pokemon Crystal is the best one, in my opinion. In my ha ha ha.
I always thought Suicune was just very cool as a kid.
Pretty cool. The cool thing about Crystal is you play through like your Johto region, and then at the end of the game, you're like, "Oh, I'm done." And then they're like, "But now go back to the first game." And it's like,
Yeah.
"Whoa, that
It's
was,
like 2 and 1.
yeah, that's just pure value." So it's pretty
Yeah,
neat.
that is pure
Yeah.
value.
Speaking
All
of
right.
pure value,
Speaking of pure
Mirka and
value.
Dalfo, 2020. Is this the year that we get a
It's
fantastic,
2020,
consistent?
2021.
2022. Is this the year that we get the book from Mirka and Dalfo that is consistent
See,
and lovely?
do you guys want to know the moment that I realized this was not going to be good?
Did
Well,
you
there was like
read?
multiple authors on it, which had me concerned.
Well, the thing that really made me be like, oh, this is not gonna go well, is when Mirka Andolfo was writing it and not drawing it.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
That was like, oh, okay. That's probably not a good sign. And turns out it was not a good sign. So this is, we're talking, of course, about Deep Beyond number one, which came out from Image Comics this week. This show, of course, has a storied history with Mirka Andolfo.
We do.
This one, I think I'm like, I don't know if I should. It's probably not like a responsible thing as a, to write it off on the first issue, but this book, like, things happen and then they immediately become irrelevant, and then other things happen and those things immediately become irrelevant. Like, it sets up these characters at the like it has a cold open, which is whatever. But then it sets up these characters at this party. One of them is like the son of the president, and the other one is like a socialite, and they're like flirty with each other. And then they both get killed 3 pages later.
Yeah, I was actually interested in those characters and their relationship. Like, oh, like this guy's the president's son, and this person's like something's maybe off with her or something. And then it's like, no, this isn't the story. I mean, this is the story we're telling, but these characters are not going to be in it. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, and then 3 pages later, the book just makes a very strong case for why women should not allowed to be president because they, you know, have emotional breakdowns in office and can't handle the pressure.
Har har har.
That's our title.
Personally, I think it's fucked up that the book tries to make that point, but the president does have an emotional breakdown for seemingly no reason.
The really bad thing about this story is that every line of dialogue, no matter what it is exposition.
Yes.
And there's not a meaningful exchange anywhere to be found, and then people die. Also, the artwork's bland because Mirka Andolfo isn't drawing it.
I don't know. I thought the president's son flirting with the socialite was kind of cute.
But then they died.
Or at least no. I think they died. It's actually not entirely clear.
Actually, no. Well, I don't think the president's son dies because like the guys are like making a joke about like how they don't want them to like puke on him or something. But that like they clearly have like a disease or something. There was some sort of like chemical bomb that went off. Or, you know, some sort of thing. So maybe they still are the main characters, and in issue 2 we'll learn more about them.
It's weird. It feels like the story wasn't sure where it wanted to start, and instead of starting where it's going to be interesting, it started where it's not. Because it's like, well, we have to set up the world, and there are way more elegant ways to do that than 32 pages of exposition. Yeah, I almost didn't finish this, it's really disappointing, too, because obviously, like, I really want Mirka Andolfo to give me a story I really, really like. Because I know she has...
Dude, I want her to have a W.
Will one day happen.
Yeah.
I blame David Goy. I don't know who he is, but he helped write.
It's his fault.
I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, it's just like this book. I didn't finish it. I got like about I don't know.
Oh,
guys,
do I have a twist for you then?
I didn't. Well, no. I know. Chad did finish it, and I sort of like skimmed it. But like, I guarantee you, I would have finished this if Mirka Andolfo had drawn it.
Yeah.
Just because like I love her art, and the art here just like isn't that compelling. Isn't compelling enough to like draw me through it. You know,
it's not bad, but it's not enough to get. Yeah, exactly. It's not enough to like carry a bad writing, which is
right exactly like it's totally
like,
fine
regardless. Yeah,
like I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on the art because it's like serviceable and some of it looks pretty neat, like there's those panels at the beginning where the people have the growths and all of that, which is like weirdly similar to Mercy also, but you know and it's fine, but like if I'm not compelled by the story, I'm just gonna put it down, right? It's the art isn't gonna pull me through the rest of the way.
For sure.
Right. What'd you guys think of Sea of Sorrow number 4?
Number 4?
Yeah, that came out this week.
Out this week. Was that out this week?
I read issue 3 thinking that was the new issue.
No, the number 4, that came out like a week ago, and then number 4 came out right after, and I was really confused too. And I was like, did I miss an issue? And it's like, no, I kind of understand what's going on.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool.
I read issues 2 and 3 today, thinking that that was going to get me caught up. But anyway, go on. Sorry.
Number 4 is a lot of. I think I wonder if this is going to be a 5-issue mini or a 6-issue mini because they're starting to trim the cast a little bit. Some people die in this one. There's a little bit of a revolt. The mermaids show up, and there's some really good horror with them. And I really like how their song is just like the notes are. They look like music notes, but they're just the way they're drawn is just a little wavy and a little like, you know, sinister. So that's really cool. The artwork in this is so good. It just remains like a really great horror book. But then there's some really fun stuff here. And I really hope this sticks the landing. Like it won't be this amazing, you know, seminal piece of artwork or anything, But it will be a really good, just like spooky book at sea, where shit goes really wrong really fast, and I like it. It reminds me of like Alien in a
Yeah,
way.
I will say from reading issue. Actually, that's a good comparison. I will say from reading issues 2 and 3, I thought they were both very, very good. And I felt like dialing up the horror. Like the first issue was good, but dialing up the horror stuff in the especially in the third issue when there's that great panel sequence where after they give the crew members a bunch of alcohol, where he's singing the sea shanty to himself. And then he like walks into the hallway and is drinking. And one panel you see him like drinking, and the next you see like the cup on the floor and him getting dragged away. Is just a really great panel sequence. And I think like this is a book where like, and this isn't me saying the writing is bad because I think the writing is totally fine, but I think the art and the visuals carry it really, really heavily, especially the underwater stuff with all the like blacks and whites that really feel very oppressive. There's a great panel, and I think this was in the second issue, where you see the shipwreck sort of dangling on, because it's like stuck on like an underground mountain or something. It's sort of like dangling on the side of it. It's just a really, really great panel, and there's a lot of great visual stuff in here too. So I'm gonna read issue 4 when we get done with this, because I thought I was caught up, but I was wrong. Cool. Alex, did you read this?
Yeah, it's very good. And like the art still carries it, but it's actually like wonderful little series. And hey, if it's a 5-issue mini, it's an I wouldn't be disappointed.
Be interesting if
Yeah.
like, because I know IDW releases a lot of crazy stuff, and a lot of it is based off of franchises, right? Property stuff.
Yeah.
But this didn't get stuff like Kanto, which had moments of being really good. I mostly enjoyed my time with that, and then Kill Lock was really good, and this has been really good. And so I don't know. It's kind of neat that it's like, yeah, between like the Gears of War and the My Little Pony and Transformers, there's these smaller stories that
Yeah.
start and then end in like a year, and you have like a pretty solid trade you can just enjoy and not have any extra baggage with.
Oh yeah. No, I love the model. I mean, it's like even though Black Crown, like the line ended, it feels like there's some books that are still carrying on that
Like this.
spirit. Like this, exactly. And I feel like telling story like those really like sh not super short but like 5-6 issue self-contained stories is fantastic, and those often end up being like I think some of our favorite comics when they come out, just because you don't have to read them for 4 years and hope the payoff is worth it at the end,
Yeah,
and hope
you don't
it
get
doesn't.
a you don't get a
Yeah.
Deadly Class situation, which I mean that hasn't been around in a while,
Where
but
you read it for 50 issues and then it starts sucking you for no fucking reason. But
It's good. Yeah, and it's just it, if a writer is given 5 issues to tell a story, and that's the story they want to tell, or a mini series or whatever, as
yeah.
opposed to like, hey, I'm going to be ongoing and see where we can take this. I it's you know it's has the potential to just be far tighter and a better story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I miss Black Crown. That was a nice hit maker when it was going on, and I guess this would have been in it and probably Kill Lock too. But it's nice. It'd be nice to have that dedicated space back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Black Crown books were maybe a little bit more thematically connected to one another. Like
Yeah.
they were all sort of like those like weird outsider stories.
Know if I ever bought any of them either, though, is the thing. Like, I like them, but I didn't love them in a
Oh,
lot of
I
cases.
think Punk, I like Punk's Not Dead is the was
Oh yeah, Punk's Not Dead
fantastic.
fucking ruled.
Yeah. That's I was gonna say, I thought you were like the big champion of that book too. But yeah, I mean I know Kid Lobotomy just never got to finish. Like I feel like
Yeah.
there probably was a that like it might have finished strong. There was a lot that I liked about it, but like it just never got the chance to like finish telling its story. So it doesn't matter like if it where it would have gone or if it would have been good. It's just that like you get like these issues that are like disconnected from one another that all feel like greater parts of a whole, and it like if you don't know what that whole is, it's not going to be a compelling story to read. So had a lot of really good issues though. A
It
lot of
did.
really good issues.
What'd you guys think of Chained to the Grave, which is another IDW number one?
This one I was a little I'm a little unsure, because I feel like this book can't decide like what tone it wants to strike.
Yeah,
like it at times it feels like, you know, Saturday morning cartoon. Like at times it's like, oh, this is like feels like Rock Candy Mountain or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, I was gonna make that comparison.
And, like right down to the art style being very similar. But then at other times it's like this, it's this very serious like crime book, and it doesn't walk the line between those very well. It just ends up casting its lot somewhere in the middle, and it just it sort of it doesn't work. Like those tonal inconsistencies just totally bog the book down and make it honestly like it was hard for me to finish it. Even though, like, I really liked the art style and some of it, I liked how good humored some of it, what parts of it were.
I wish it was more cartoony, like more Saturday morning cartoony.
100%.
Yeah, this weird gold heist nonsense. Like, it's fine for as a backdrop to get the thing people to do stuff, but it felt way too, like, I don't know. Like, it had like the drama of a CSI episode, but then also you have a zombie carrying around his fucking gravestone. And they just don't mesh right.
Yeah, yeah. I was far lower, but similar reasons. But I just like really did not like this book because of the tonal clash, and I felt that the art was a bit too busy with what was going on. But I guess that was also because of the script and everything. So.
I think the art would have worked if it was just a goofy book, you know, like if it was trying to like have that same sort of tone as something like an Adventure Time or Gravity Falls or something like that. I think it actually would have worked. Mm-hmm. Like it would have worked a lot better at any rate. As is, it's, you know, it doesn't do anything for me.
Like the whiplash of when his like wife basically betrays him and then dies, and you're like, wait, I thought this was like a cute story. What the fuck?
It plays that like it's like you're supposed to have this like big emotional like investment in it, because like there's that panel where the layout where he shoots the gun, and you see like the bullet hit her in the head, and it feels like something that would be like, you know, it has the same like gravitas of like in a movie when it's like a slow-mo, you know, looking back longingly at each other for the last time. It has that tone to it, and it's like, what is this? What is happening?
It felt like almost like a joke out of a South Park thing or something, like one of those cartoons where, oh, I'm gonna save you, and then you accidentally shoot him in the head and you're like, oh, never mind.
Oh yeah, right.
It's so weird, and I expected in like Rick and Morty or South Park, and not this, because this was definitely not this dark even until this page. So it's like 25 pages in before you get this. You're like, where the fuck did this come from? He's a cartoon zombie. Like, he's really cartoony. He was literally getting dragged on a train by the train, and is like cartoon logic, like in the Animaniacs or something, right? And then he shoots somebody, and there's blood everywhere, and it. Yeah, this comic makes no sense. I have no idea what it wants to be.
Yeah. Mm. And then the part in the next panel where you just see her body still riding the horse with like the blood trickling out of her forehead is like,
is this a joke?
Like am I? No, seriously. It's like, should I be laughing? But I don't. But the thing is, I don't even think the book wants you to laugh at that. I
don't think so either.
I don't know.
Trying to play that seriously.
And like maybe they're going for like a, haha, this is funny until it's not, and like that, you know, trying to make some sort of point. But it's strange to put in a first issue of a series that we don't know what the tone is, and just to throw all these different tones at us, because it's like, you know, like if you're watching an episode of Rick and Morty, you know what to expect because it's Rick and Morty, and maybe you expect not to like, you know, just the general tone and stuff. And with this, it's like, I don't know. I kind of want to come back for the next issue, even though I didn't like this one, just to see if they get a clearer direction or see what they do with that. But that's a month from me's problem. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There were a lot of number ones this week, though, at least that I read. And I think, Alex, you read some of them. Chad, I don't know.
I tried to read them all, I think.
Okay.
Except the anything to do with, like, Marvel.
I'm a lot higher on the other ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to explain yourself?
I quite enjoyed Fear Case number one from Matt Kint and Tyler Hillary Jenkins. It was a cool sort of detective story, and that basically centered around this artifact that just brings destruction and death wherever it goes, but sort of like on a 3-day like timer where like, hey, whoever's this is with for 3 days or whatever, it's gonna lead to some spooky supernatural death or misfortune and assassinations. It's got this sort of hazy, ink blotty sort of art style which I really liked, and it really feels like a nice crime, nice crime story. And yeah, I thought it was a cool start. Also, there's a person there whose like organs are all missing, and it's like, oh my god, they're dead and their organs are missing. What's up with that?
I always like it when the organs disappear. It's just like a fun visual. I mean, obviously I don't like it, but you know what I mean, right? It's
Chad,
fucked up in a really good way.
no. Well, I like the part where they walk into the house and there are like organs sitting on like the kitchen counter, and then it just takes them like a while to find, oh, there was a body that these organs came from.
Takes like 20 minutes. Like it's, I don't know. It feels like a
Yeah.
long time.
Well, they interview the suspects and stuff. They do stuff in that time that would prevent them from, going into the basement and finding the guy's body with his organs out. But yeah, I like this a lot too. I think this is like I thought it was a really strong first issue in terms of like it's just very like visually and tonally is like very striking and very like there's a lot of confidence in terms of like what it's setting out to do, and I like that a lot. I thought that there was one bit where they're like explaining the concept of like this is the because they're it's about like these Secret Service agents, right? And it's investigating this case. But they're like explaining the concept of it to, I guess, these rookies, and it's like where they're like, yeah, there's this box that we've been tracking, and we give it to it, we haze every new agent with it, new agent team with it. They have to investigate it for a year, and if they don't solve it, we just take it away from them because it makes them go insane. And you sort of see one of these characters going insane. That part, I thought that part was like. I think partially because this is one part where like as much as I love the style, like I would have could have used a little bit more clarity in terms of who was telling the story, who was like saying all of that and who it was being said to,
Yeah, it seems
because
like the detective is saying it, like in my mind, I thought that it would be their like superior telling them, but the way it's sort of structured, it seems like they're telling that person, and it's like, wait, but who
no,
gave
well,
who the
it is
case?
that they're talking, they're setting it up. They're like, there's like these, there's a, the character that they're telling it to, you don't see again in the issue. They're setting it up, and like what we're gonna see in the story, presumably, is their last 3 weeks on the case, right?
Right.
It was my interpretation of it, of what was happening there, but it was just a little bit unclear in the moment. But other than that, I thought it was a really strong first issue.
I really like the character dynamic between the two detectives.
It's a good buddy cop setup,
It really
yeah.
is. I'd ship that.
They talk about coffee in such a loving and like well-described way, and the whole thing where they get each other anniversary gifts, and it's
Yeah,
cute.
it's cute. It's cute in that way that like they're too grizzled to talk about their feelings in a way that's meaningful. But they fit in that archetype, but they very clearly like Matt Kent finds ways to like make it clear that they care about each other still. It's good. I liked like pretty much everything that was going on here.
And it's nice to what's the last Dark Horse book we read that we liked? It can't be Black Hammer, but it also might be. I
It
don't know.
is. I mean, it's. I mean, I mean, I don't know. You guys don't really read all the Black Hammer spin-offs, right?
Yeah. No,
And
I'm just
I don't read them as they come out. I read them like when they finish mostly.
I
But
forget to read Dark Horse comics and then feel bad. Like I feel like the last one I really enjoyed was a Brian Wood Alien run.
that was a while ago, yeah.
And I know he's put out more and I keep meaning to read them and then I'm just like, do I need more Alien comics? I don't think I do.
Just wait for the
Wow. And
Alien TV
then I
series, Chad.
don't. Huh?
Yeah, wait for the prequel TV show coming to Disney Plus.
Set on Earth? Question mark?
Everything
Wild.
is just trying to make me sad.
Aw, well, we're trying to make you happy, Chad. What else did you read this week?
we read that with a Boom comic. What was it, Luna? About the
Luna.
hippies?
Yeah, about Luna Lovegood
Yeah,
from
that
Harry Potter.
damn
Kind of,
hippies.
Yeah, the hippies.
What did you
The
think, Chad?
hippies. She's joining a cult. She did some LSD probably. Had some sex. It's interesting. I like it's very bright. And everyone's really having fun, but you're like, yeah, but I know about cults. None of this is going to end well. So, like, there's a sinister aspect to it that is there because of your expectations more than what like the comic is actually showing you, which I think is really cool. It's a good way to tell a story, and like like Midsommar, right? Like you go there and everything's really bright and everyone's really nice, and you're like, yeah, but I'm watching an Ari Aster movie or an Ari Aster movie. Shit's gonna get fucked.
Yeah, but you know, it's epic what happened, how the movie ends. She fucking owns her boyfriend.
Oh
He
yeah, he
does.
turns into a bear. It's great.
Yeah, he
But
gets
like
owned.
this is the same thing, right? Where I'm just like, so, there's something really bad's gonna happen, and then she has sex with the guy and is basically gonna join the cult. And it's like, no, this is how you wind up in jail and because of Charles Manson, or you drink Kool-Aid that you're not supposed to,
Yeah, it's like the.
which I guess was actually Flavor-Aid. So sorry to the Flavor-Aid company.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's. I wonder if Kool-Aid like had like a meeting that where they were like, no, we, no publicity is bad publicity. Let's take this from Flavor-Aid. And then they like pushed the false narrative, and now no one hears about Flavor-Aid anymore, right?
I want to
So,
see.
is that true?
I yeah, the, you
I
know,
don't really know
Department of
anything
Truth, issue
about
six, guys. That's the
the I
that's
don't really know
the.
anything about Jonestown, but
I
like,
want to see the someone do fan art of the Kool-Aid Man dressed as Jim Jones.
I think that
Oh, that
exists.
probably
I
exists.
can't imagine that not existing. And if it does, that is a blind spot of the internet because that's just yeah. Yep. But yeah, like the first three quarters of this book, it's just like a lot of people vibing and sort of like not a lot of text, and you know there's some dialogue, and I it's refreshing, you know, when you're reading so many comics, and it's well done,
Yeah,
and you get that it's
it's
got that
very
sinister
light
tone.
on plot, except for that one scene where she sees where I th that I think is a flashback with the guy who comes down in the lightning. I didn't really know what to make of that,
Oh yeah,
but
Shazam was there.
yeah,
Yes.
I thought it was like Zeus or something, but
Yeah,
that's
some
probably
sort
only
of.
because Alex before I read the book, he sent a screenshot and said, "This reminds me of the video game Hades."
It
And I was
did.
like, "Oh, there's lightning and a guy flying. That damn, I guess that's Zeus."
I mean, I'm wondering also because like the last page, you have that shot that I shared in the group, and it looks like there's some sort of like mythological
Oh, there
implication.
definitely is something supernatural like going on. Like I don't know that the drug that the cult leader gives her is LSD necessarily. Like it seems to have like similar effects, but it seems a little bit more sinister than that. Not that giving LSD to your sexual partners isn't sinister. That's pretty fucked up. But yeah, like it seems like there is something else there. But I really just like this as like, oh yeah, she's like partying with them, and that's how you get into a cult, is you go to some cool parties with some people who seem chill, and then next thing you know, you're the FBI is outside and you're inside your walled complex, and this guy is trying to launch himself into space in a fucking Elvis Presley
Okay,
costume.
we said we wouldn't talk about Riverdale anymore, but that was wonderful too. What a show. What a show.
I'm excited to keep reading this
Me
though.
too.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like we're starting the year off pretty well. Like, we have a Dark Horse book we're reading. We have a two Boom books we're reading. Like,
Two
it's not
booms.
going to just be the Image and then that one DC book we like.
Honestly, chances are we're gonna read more Boom and Dark Horse than we read Marvel this year. And I mean, DC Future State isn't looking too hot, so it's possible that is even lower. So
Yeah.
I you know.
I feel like it is good that we branch out, if only so that when we have our top 10 show, it isn't nine Image Comics and the one DC book about a sad guy that made us cry. Like,
Hey.
what? What? That's what
Suicide
our.
Squad.
I'm still mad about that.
It's okay.
Well, not. Okay, that's a little extreme, but like, man, there were that. It wasn't good. It really was. It was. When the fuck's that next Batman Catwoman coming out?
Probably this month sometime.
This month
Pro
sometime,
probably
yeah.
like
Wait,
yeah,
no, didn't
in the
we? Oh,
20s.
no, yeah.
Yeah, it's February.
Probably in a couple weeks.
It won't make my top 10 at all because it's not good, but I can't. I can, Tom
I
King,
can't
you
shake the Tom
fucking.
King. I can't.
You
I mean, I can
do
shake it in
this to
Strange
me.
Adventures because that's just like kind of super racist and stuff. But like his Batman Catwoman, I'm like, Tom. Tom.
Yeah. Well, that one you can read and not feel bad because it's not extremely racist.
Yeah, that's
Like,
true.
it's bad, but like Strange Adventures, like I had to stop reading that because of that
Yeah.
very racist issue.
Well, yeah,
But
and then it got worse after you stopped reading, but you know,
well, that's not a
it's
surprise.
wonderful. But yeah, then Strangely enough, Batman Catwoman is the Tom King project that I'm like, oh, there's like a little bit of excitement when I open that PDF, you know? It's like, what's going on? Because,
It's just like a perverse sense of excitement,
well, because
yeah.
Rorschach's just so boring, and Strange Adventures is like, I'm not reading that, so it's like,
You need some Tom King to spice up your life, is what you're saying.
you know, no one does it quite like him, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for comics. I read Star Wars High Republic
So
number
did
two. Oh,
I.
did you?
I'm caught up
Okay.
now, yeah.
What'd you think?
I like the first two issues. It's kind of neat to be in this era. It's kind of weird that like Yoda's hanging out and he's like, "I'm Yoda, what's up?" And it's
Well,
like,
it's only
"Oh."
200 years before Phantom Menace, which is part of my
Yeah.
more
It's just
like structural problems with
I
it,
mean
but
clearly he's alive and clearly he's a Jedi. It's just like, "Oh, yeah, Yoda's there." But I like what's going on with the sort of Trandoshan Jedi master who's missing an arm and something's
Skeer.
clearly wrong with him. Like I'm really enjoying that part. And this is the Star Wars comic that I've enjoyed the most that I've read in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. So, mind you, I haven't read that many. So,
Well, you haven't read Dr. Aphra, right?
no.
Should read that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think this stuff is okay. I enjoyed the first two issues, but I'm not super taken by them. It's one of those things where it's like, if this was a different sci-fi property, I probably would be like, oh yeah, I'm enjoying this. But the High Republic shit just has so much baggage in terms of its portrayal of the Jedi and the Republic that just like makes it impossible to reconcile with the fact that it only takes place like 200 years before Phantom Menace.
It's like everything is perfect, and these Jedis are like,
Dude, have
yay.
you read the novel?
No.
Dude, the novel puts every Jedi that's ever existed, just gets all their dicks, puts them in its mouth, and just sucks them off for 300 pages.
Yeah.
It's honestly kind of embarrassing. Like how much that book is like, the Jedi are perfect, and everybody in the galaxy loves them,
But Jean
and they
Luc,
can
what if
solve
the
any
Jedi
problem.
are perhaps not so awesome?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. Like that's like, did you not watch the fucking movies? Like, do you not understand like what is very like in the not subtext? George Lucas is not a man that uses subtext. Do
Yeah,
you
it
not
is.
understand what is being told to you about the Jedi in these movies? But anyway, this comic is it's totally serviceable. Like if you like, I think like as a casual Star Wars fan, like it's totally a serviceable thing to exist that people will probably enjoy
That
because it's not
this
like
isn't an insult, but
embarrassingly written or
I think you
anything.
would enjoy the first two issues. And I'm not saying you should go back and read them because, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of cool. You have a Jedi Master with one arm, and he's kind of like, oh no, he's turning evil. But he's a lizard man.
He's a Trandoshan, yeah.
And we know where they live in the sewers and in our neighborhoods. And
Trandoshans don't live in sewers.
yeah, but the lizard people do, Jean. You got to keep an eye out. Open your eyes.
Gotcha.
Department of Truth, issue 7.
I do think it's fucked up that they're like the Trandoshan Jedi is like the one that they're like, he's going to the dark side. Like,
Yeah, it was refreshing to see him as a Jedi, because it's like,
it's
oh, like
very.
when I think of Trandoshans, I think of, you know, Bossk or like, you know,
Well, and
bad guy.
in the novel, there's a couple lines about this guy too, also that are very like, oh, what's the term that I'm looking for? But it's basically the idea that like, yeah, these species just are the way they are, and it's just it's a Trandoshan's destiny to be an evil killer. And it's so
Yikes.
weird that there's one who's a Jedi, and then in the comic it's like, oh, he's becoming an evil monster.
Yeah, I would have liked it a lot more if the
Like,
Jedi Master was a
what?
human and then the Trandoshan was the Padawan who's like, yo, what's up, Jedi Master? Why are you acting so crazy?
Yeah.
But here we
But
are.
they have to have a hot Jedi Padawan that
Ooh.
the audience can latch on to.
I feel like Latch is not, but yes, anyway.
Well, they latch on to her 'cause she's hot.
No, I
Like
know, but like I was just thinking like latch is like a thing you do with like a partner. So like, time to latch on, and it's like that doesn't sound very nice.
Well, but you latch on to peep characters. I think that's a
No,
normal
I
turn
do.
of
No. In
phrase.
the character sense it does. I was just thinking anyway, my mind went to like, huh, what would latching look like? What would that what, and it, Chad, anything
Yes.
else?
Yeah, let's leave.
Wow. He doesn't want to latch on to me or Sean
Want to
Luke.
latch onto the accent. Not be here no more.
He wants to latch onto his bed.
No, I like to nap on the couch. Plus, I think the cat stole my bed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of the Comics Podcast. You can find us online at Comics Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us individually. I'm at Mountain Dew Liker on Twitter. Alex is at Alex Hanziak. Chad's at Anonym Band. And Emily's at M Pandanata. You can go to anonymband.wordpress.com to read Chad's short stories. You can go to amazon.com to buy his books, The Ninth Life, and his short story collection, Dreamscape. And you can go to anonymband.wordpress, anonym.bandcamp.com for his album, Follow the Witch. Emily does some other podcasts. They are Imagine Me and Yurikuma and The Fresh Podcast Market. You can find links to those on her Twitter, or you can, you know, look them up on your search engine of choice. And then you can find Alex tweeting from the Roller Coaster Tycoon account and occasionally with words at cgmagonline.com. And yeah, that's that. We'll see y'all next week. Emily will be back. We'll talk about Riverdale. It'll be great.
And then we're going to talk about Yashihine some more to counteract all the garbage Riverdale discussion.
Nice.
Chad, you don't believe
so
that.
You can skip to the half hour mark next week. Is what I'm saying.
That's true.
Someday I want to do Clockwork Orange shit to Chad and just make him watch Riverdale. Attach all those devices to him.
I want to handpick episodes though. I don't want to just have Chad start at the beginning because the first season is just like, oh, this is kind of a neat mystery show with a bit of strange teachers having sex with students and twincest. It's a weird show. But man, just the things you can get with Evil Knievel cult leader and keeping your dead brother's corpse in your house and Dark Betty, and yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot.
The serial killer gene.
Oh yeah.
Viral underground tickling rings.
Oh man, yeah. What a
lovely.
Nothing
to do.
What a lovely show.
I just don't care.
Okay, just to end off, the biggest problem with Riverdale comics, other than the fact that they're written poorly, is that they don't go in these places. Like, they're too safe. Like, they're not like the TV show at all. They're
normal.
Just like, oh, you know, Southside Serpents are having troubles. And it's like, come on, I want to know what happens with the serial killer gene, or like, yeah.
All right, well, we will see y'all next week. I hope this week is pleasant for y'all, and I will talk to you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.